Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films are Wild Salome, The Death of Stalin, and Lean on Pete. All right, go.
I think we're setting a record, Jill, doing four movies in the space of one episode. However, there are reasons for this. Well, mainly there are reasons for the first two, Wild Salome and Salome. Wild Salome is spelled Wild with an E, as in Oscar Wilde. And in fact, Salome was a play that Oscar Wilde wrote in French. And it's about Salome, and it's about her request for the her agreement with the king Herod, the tetrarch actually, Herod, that if you dance for me, I will give you anything you ask, even to the half of my kingdom. And what she does, her dance of the seven veils, and what she requests is, he has got John the Baptist, who is known in the play as Jochanan. He has Jochanan stashed away, imprisoned in a cistern. And she says, bring me the head of John the Baptist, bring me the head of Jochanan on a silver platter. And he does. And it has a very tragic ending. So that is the play that Oscar Wilde wrote. And it was not well received in his own lifetime. And Oscar Wilde went through all sorts of travails. But this is a play in English translation, which has fascinated the actor Al Pacino for a very, very long time. And every once in a blue moon, the actor Al Pacino turns filmmaker and directs a movie. And in fact, just a few years ago, he directed two movies that have to do with Oscar Wilde's play, Salome. The first one, which he actually made back in 2011, is called Wild Salome, and this is a documentary about Pacino's attempt to both direct a theatrical version on the stage of Wilde's play in the evenings and in the days to make a movie of the play. So Wild Salome is Al Pacino's documentary about his efforts to simultaneously put on a stage production of Oscar Wilde's play and make a movie of Oscar Wilde's play. And Salome, which he made a couple of years later in 2013, is the movie of Oscar Wilde's play, Salome. So this sounds a little complicated, but most complicated of all is the fact that the documentary about his efforts to put on the play and make the movie was made way back in 2011, and the movie that he did make came out way back, it was finished way back in 2013, and they are just now in 2018 having their theatrical movie theater premieres. So that's why I'm talking about these two films together. They are coming out belatedly all these later years. So how are these things? Wild Salome, the documentary about Pacino's efforts to put on the play and make the movie, is such a vanity production. Pacino is all over it, struggling to do these two projects simultaneously, running into difficulties, deciding he really can't get the movie done in the very short shooting schedule that he had. People didn't like the play version very much because it was more of a staged reading than an actual full-fledged production. So it's very much a vanity production about Pacino's valiant efforts to get this done. But it's an interesting vanity production because he doesn't really succeed. The play doesn't come off very well, and he isn't able to get the movie done on the schedule that he had hoped. The actual movie, which is just called Salome, I think is pretty darn good. It's very unconventional. It's mostly that production that was done on the stage, but sort of fleshed out a bit with some other stuff thrown in. But it's really pretty well done, and I really think I really had a good time watching it. And it has a very good cast, most especially Pacino himself as the king, Herod, and Jessica Chastain. This is a few years ago, before she was the big star that she is now. She plays Salome. And it has other good people in the cast as well. So these two movies are both coming out now. If you want to choose one, I would definitely suggest Salome, the movie that he actually made of the play, because I think it's good. It's done in modern dress. I think that Pacino's sunglasses perched on top of his head are a little bit more than we really needed for modern dress. But he, I think, is very, very good. Herod is basically a little bit drunk throughout the whole thing, which takes place in a very condensed time period. And he does a nice job of putting that across. And Chastain is just quite a gorgeous and compelling and very dramatic Salome. And she does her famous dance. And that alone is probably worth the price of admission. So a very unconventional pair of films here. But I give credit to Al Pacino for following through his obsession and making two movies out of it. And I had a good time, especially at Salome. If you have any interest in Oscar Wilde or in sort of unconventional theater as transferred to film, Salome is a movie to see. Okay, so now moving to a couple of somewhat more conventional movies, which are both also pretty good. The first one is The Death of Solon. This is made by Armando Iannucci, who is the British writer and director who is probably best known for the TV series Veep, but he's done other stuff as well, and he has a hankering for politics, of course. And The Death of Stalin is exactly what the title tells you. It is about the events that surrounded and immediately came after the death of the infamous dictator of the Soviet Union, Joseph Stalin. However, this is a comedy. And this is also the part of today's episode which has a theme, and our theme is movies with Steve Buscemi, because Steve Buscemi is one of the main actors. He probably is the main actor in The Death of Stalin. He plays the person who eventually, after a very few years, succeeded Stalin as the premier and dictator of the Soviet Union, Nikita Khrushchev, who I certainly remember from my young days. So Stalin died, and then for a very few years, the sort of Soviet Central Committee ran the country, and then Khrushchev took over as the real dictator. So we have here a movie where Stalin does die, and he dies fairly early in the movie, so he is definitely, he's played by Adrian McLaughlin, and he is not one of the major characters in this film. The major characters are Khrushchev, who is angling already to get to take over, Vyacheslav Molotov, played by the great Michael Palin from the Monty Python troupe. It is such a pleasure to see him again on the big screen. He is absolutely marvelous. Patty Considine as Andreev, Simon Russell Beale as the head of the KGB, Lavrenty Beria, and Jeffrey Tambor as Georgi Malenkov. So these are our main characters, really. Molotov, Khrushchev, Malenkov, Beria, these are the really main characters of the film, played by these wonderful comic actors. And this is sometimes it's a real knockabout comedy. At times it verges on actual slapstick. I mean, Stalin dies, collapses onto the floor when he's all alone in a room because it's not necessarily because, but it is immediately after he reads a very scathing note sent to him by a famous musician. And as I say, sometimes it's practically a slapstick comedy. The next day when he is found, his immediate minions, who are all themselves extremely high dignitaries in the Soviet nomenklatura, have to carry him off the floor of his office into a room where they can at least lay him out and give him a little bit of dignity. And it's really hard to carry this guy because he's like heavy, and they're sort of old guys who are not in very good shape. So that's the sort of thing that we have in parts of the film. And what we have in other parts of the film are sort of lunatic situations. The very first episode in the movie has Stalin listening to a broadcast of a symphony concert and decided he really likes the way this concerto is being played, and so he wants a recording of it, and so he just has somebody phone up the concert hall, and it turns out that they have not recorded it. It was broadcast live, so they have to do the whole thing over again. And this really happened, by the way. They have to do the whole thing over again, this time with the recording apparatus running, but the conductor can't do it. And so they have to get another conductor, and they have to get this poor old illustrious Soviet orchestra conductor out of bed and rush him down to the studio where he conducts it in his pajamas. And apparently in real life, they had to go through about three conductors before they actually pulled this off. The movie, they make it a little bit more plausible than real life was by at least having their first conductor be able to do this. So again, it's got lunatic situations. It's got practically slapstick comedy, but what it mainly has is a whole lot of uproarious wheeling and dealing by these people who all want to have power, or at least want to be not totally eradicated right then and there by Beria, who runs the KGB and has dirt on everybody, and all played again by these marvelous comic actors. Jeffrey Tambor is absolutely excellent. He looks almost corpse-like in his makeup, even though he's not Stalin. Steve Buscemi, it plays this old, portly Khrushchev, well, not old yet, but starting to get there, marvelous. Michael Palin has never been better, in my opinion. So it's a really uproarious movie all about politics, all about real politics of a few decades ago, and I really had a good time watching. And it's not a masterpiece. It's not even a comic masterpiece, but it's a very entertaining movie, and I really do recommend it. And finally, our other movie of the week with good old Steve Buscemi. I have to say, Steve Buscemi, I used to see him do like avant-garde theater in New York when he was a very young man, and I never dreamed he would become the star that he became. I've met him. I once hosted an evening with him in New York. Nice, unassuming fellow and a marvelous actor, and anybody who disagrees with that should look at Boardwalk Empire, where he carries that series over several seasons, and he's absolutely sensational. So he is not the major character in Lean on Pete, which is the story of a boy and his horse. The main character is played by a very young and tremendously gifted actor named Charlie Plummer, not related to Christopher Plummer, even though his last name is spelled the same. And Charlie Plummer gets a job working for Steve Buscemi, who is this old guy who races horses. He owns horses which race in these very, very small time, almost sort of dirt track kind of setups. And one of his racers, one of his jockeys, is a woman named Bonnie, played by the marvelous Chloe Sevigny. She is marvelous in this as well. And what we have, and by the way, Steve Zahn shows up later on in the movie. He's also excellent. So what we have here is this very young man, a teenager, named Charlie Thompson. And he gets a job working for Steve Buscemi's character, and he gets very, very close to this horse, whose name is Lean on Pete, and that's where the title of the movie comes from. And eventually, Dell, the owner, played by Steve Buscemi, is going to sell Lean on Pete because he's just a horse and he can't really race anymore. So Charlie decides he's going to save Lean on Pete from what he's afraid will be a sad fate. And so he takes Lean on Pete and sort of runs away with Lean on Pete. So we have this runaway teenager with this horse in tow, trying to make his way to where his aunt lives in another state, see if he can get there because maybe he can find safe harbor with her. So that's what it is. It's this rescue operation for this horse, a teenager running away with a horse named Lean on Pete, although commonly known just as Pete. Now, I got to toss out a warning here. The horse comes to a very unhappy end, and it's a very shocking, jolting scene, very brief, but you might want to climb under your chair. And it happens, I would say, around 2/3 of the way, maybe even 3/4 of the way through the movie. But I have to say that even though I didn't enjoy watching that part of it, Lean on Pete is probably the best movie I've seen so far this year. And we're starting to get up to, well into the year now. It's certainly the best American movie I've seen this year. It is beautifully acted by the young Charlie Plummer, who I think may well become a real star, Chloe Sevigny, Steve Zahn, the marvelous Steve Buscemi, etc. Marvelous acted movie, very, very touching, very subtle. It was written and directed by the young filmmaker Andrew Hay, who just a few years ago made a movie called Weekend, which is about gay relationships. A good movie, didn't make a very strong impression on me. But then just about a year ago, he made a very, very, very fine film. It was on my 10 best list, called 45 Years, where we have Charlotte Rampling and Tom Courtenay as an old couple celebrating a wedding anniversary, and things come out about the two of them. Beautifully acted, marvelously directed movie. And now Andrew Hay has made another absolutely first great piece of work in Lean on Pete. So if you can handle the scene where the horse comes to an unhappy end, and again, it's very brief, but it's very shocking, and I hate to give that as a spoiler, but I got to warn people about that. It's an absolutely marvelous sort of a road movie with terrific characters, wonderful acting, and again, this young guy named Charlie Plummer, I would not be at all surprised if he turned into a star, at least on the level of Steve Buscemi one of these years, and maybe even higher than that. And one more little word of salute here to Chloe Sevigny, who is a terrific actress who can do almost anything and who is absolutely sensational in Lean on Pete. So of all the movies I've talked about this week and all the movies I've talked about in recent months, this is really my favorite so far this year, Lean on Pete. Quite a film, beautifully acted. The American independent scene can still turn out really first-rate work when it wants to. So that is my very peripatetic story this week, Jill.
And thank you for that, David Sterrett. Films in Focus. The films Wild Salome, The Death of Stalin, and Lean on Pete.